that sounds very familiar today, and that's because it came directly out of the Prairie Fire Manifesto. That is where that came from, and that is how they tried to begin the first revolution, as they called it, back in the 60s and 70s. They decided that, look, we need to take over essentially the educational system. We need to get to kids at an early age, and we need to change the thinking of Americans. And now you've got a Congress full of people who've adopted this radical ideology. Well, now it has become the mainstream Democratic Party argument. It has gone from Soviet and Chinese intelligence, Cuban intelligence, right into the Democratic Party. And the bridge that they've gone over to get there, there are just numerous examples. And that's why, to me, we shouldn't be worrying about systemic racism. We should really be worrying about the systemic insider threat today posed by the Democratic Party.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwestall.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwestall. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Terry Turchi coming to the program, and he is quite an interesting character. He was the Deputy Assistant Director of the FBI's Counterterrorism Division until he retired in 2001, and then he left that and was the head of the counterintelligence program at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. And lately, he wrote a book called In Their Own Words, and we're going to talk about how the Marxism, this communist technocracy, is infiltrating our country. And if you haven't noticed, all the cancel culture and all the things that's going on is directly from their marching orders, from Maoist and Lenin and Marxist strategies. And he talks about the Weather Underground and how they use disenfranchised groups and they turn it against, they have legitimate beasts, but then they turn it against the country. And their goal really is to take down the United States. And it's pretty clear based on what they're doing now. And he's going to talk about that. This is a really good conversation to get a background on how these groups are very serious and they're organized and their goal is to take down this country. And I believe it's the globalists that are using these guys to take down our country only to take over in the long run. I mean, these guys are just useful idiots for them. They're doing their agenda, but they have a scripted agenda and they're following it. And now we have all these useful idiots that are helping them out. And so that's what we're going to talk about. But before we get into that, I really am close on getting you a Patreon replacement solution. I hope you are a little more patient than I am with myself and actually with what I set up. I have hired a couple people to do it for me. And Yeah, it's taking a little bit longer than they said it would. So I don't know. We're going to just keep plugging away, and I promise it'll be up soon. It's almost ready to go. I actually can take new subscribers, but I don't think that they're getting the email. And so now we have some issues there, but I promise I will take care of everybody who has already signed up. And I promise that this will eventually be working or working soon. And you will have a new home for my patrons, my ex-patrons, and now it'll be new members of this Ebonair Truth community. And I'm hoping it grows into its own deal and you guys can post your own free ebooks and all sorts of stuff. And I'm hoping we can really turn it into something bigger than me, bigger than my own deal, and something other people can grab onto and find something good, something useful to really develop from. And I'd like to think that what I provide is useful too. I like having a community that I can post things, and people who've been part of my patrons know I'll post research that I find and people can discuss it. But this is a much more richer environment for that. And so I'm pretty excited about getting it up. It's just, oh my gosh, what a pain in the butt. I tell you, when there's development involved and they think it's going to take 2 days and it takes way longer. I should have known better. I've been involved in this area for a while that it always takes way longer than they think. So it's getting there. Just have patience. Have more patience than me, please, because I'm not a very patient person when it comes to this stuff. Anyways, so I also want to tell you that, of course, I have new mask options, and you can get that at sarahwestall.com under shop. And please subscribe to all my different platforms, and you know, whether it's Gab or other video platforms, BitChute and Odyssey and Rumble. I'm on all three of those. Also, sarahwestall.tv will have every single video plus my exclusives. Some of the other video platforms might be hard to use once in a while if they're getting too much traffic. So sarahwestall.tv is something you can go to, and it usually doesn't, or I haven't seen have any problems with traffic. So that's always a good option to go there and watch, especially the public videos. I'm not going to keep the public videos public forever. I'm going to restrict it and have it available for a certain length of time, and then I'll make it private. And that way it'll always make it so that the people who are members of sarahwestall.tv who have really good speeds and they won't be bogged down. So anyways, let's get into my interview and discussion, because I discuss and talk to in this with Terry Turchi. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I heard you on another show and I thought, geez, this guy, I really need to get him on. You've done a lot of research on the Weather Underground and this coup. I don't know how else to explain it. We have obviously been taken over the country by a coup, and you're watching this organized plan go on. Can you talk about first what group is behind all this activity? And then I want to talk about what some of their strategy and goals are.
Sure. Sarah, I think it's less a group and more an ideology. And I call it the ideology of communism because I believe firmly that's what it is. And we can better understand the events today and all the things that are being said and all the crazy things that are being done if we look at the words that were spoken many, many decades ago, back in the 60s and 70s. And the book, in their own words, The Democratic Party's Push Towards a Communist America, goes through this in great detail, and it's based upon 30 years of being an FBI agent, working counterintelligence, working counterterrorism. And it's not about people confuse what I might be saying with, well, Russia is not a big power today, and Russian communism is not the threat it used to be. But I'm not talking about Russian communism. I'm talking about global ideology and what is holding today, I think, the global community together more than anything. It's this notion, this ideology of communism. And so what do I mean by that? Well, we can look back at the Weather Underground, which was a terror organization back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, responsible for the murders of policemen, responsible for major riots and major bombings across the country, attacks on federal institutions, and the Black Panther Party. And the Black Panther Party was founded in Oakland by two people, Bobby Seale and Huey Newton. And they expressed in what they called the 10-point plan the goals of the Black Panther Party. And the Weather Underground in 1974 expressed in what they called Prairie Fire, which was a manifesto of essentially taking over the government, their strategy or their suggestion for how they could convert to a political movement and kind of move away, at least temporarily, from the violence that they'd been enacting but had not been very effective. And back in mid to late 70s, the FBI, local police, were basically all over the Black Panther Party and the Weather Underground. And so they compromised and neutralized their activities and essentially put them out of business. But here's what was left behind. The Prairie Fire document proposes a strategy of, quote, resistance. Isn't that interesting? And it calls itself, the Weather Underground called itself communist-minded men and women. And they set out several goals, and they said, look, we're all about defeating capitalism, putting an end to capitalism. We're all about global solidarity. And the way we can get to the country, the way we can literally overthrow the U.S. government, is we have to band together all of essentially, and I'm using this word, victim classes, blacks, Latinos, Chicanos. They didn't then use the gay movement, but of course today that's been added, because this is about large groups of people that when you band them together and then put them out in the street and then incorporate their agenda into yours, you can start developing the masses, which the Weather Underground and the Black Panther Party said would be needed to essentially mount this overthrow. The core foundation, other than destroying capitalism and attacking the Bill of Rights, the core foundation of this movement was the idea and the notion that America was a systemically racist nation and that it was held together by the police, and that the men on the, and the women on the blue line, the front lines of dealing with criminal justice, were systemically racist. Now, that sounds very familiar today, and that's because it came directly out of the Prairie Fire Manifesto. That is where that came from, and that is how they tried to begin the first revolution, as they called it, back in the 60s and 70s.
It doesn't matter if they believe it or not, they're using it to do this, right? It's more of a tactic. It's not something they necessarily believe or care to believe. It's a tactic to get to their end goal of a communistic state.
You put it perfectly, but it's a tactic that many of these people now have even learned in school, because one of the things the Weather Underground decided that they wanted to embark upon after they kind of disassembled and ran to Canada and Oregon and Washington and all these places, they decided that, look, we need to take over essentially the educational system. We need to get to kids at an early age, and we need to change the thinking of Americans. And now you've got a Congress full of people who've adopted this radical ideology, and we can get into a number of examples which essentially threads these words and deeds and actions and people from the past with the people today that are literally making decisions and implementing policies. And if you listen carefully, you hear this echoed all the time in the speeches that some of the major leaders of the Democratic Party often give. I'll take Barack Obama as an example. Barack Obama, in his 8 years as president, solidly reintroduced, quote, racism in America. From the minute the police officer up in Connecticut, near Harvard, had the run-in with the black professor up there, and this goes back to an example where some neighbor had witnessed someone getting into their house, and they thought there was a burglary or somebody that shouldn't have been into the house. And in turn, the police showed up, and it turned out that a black professor, a very activist-type black professor in these issues, had actually lived in this home and had locked himself out. But they just reported what they saw. Well, when the police showed up, the professor, of course, immediately turned that into a police racist issue. And then Barack Obama jumped into the fray. And this all ended when he obviously had made a huge mistake. The policeman was just doing his job. But Obama used it to say, look, this is the time to begin having a discussion about race in America. And we all know the police are essentially racist. And That, of course, has been what he's been saying ever since. And we had some major incidents during his presidency, which were used to further this narrative. And of course, by the time President Trump was running against Joe Biden, this narrative had become front and center because of the creation of Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter has essentially adopted all of the points of the Black Panther Party and a little sprinkling of the Weather Underground as they take this core issue, racism, and use it as a wedge to drive Americans against each other. I want to make one more point before I stop for a minute, and that is this. It's important that people understand and realize, why am I so certain that this racism argument, this issue, this big move today to accept everything that Black Lives Matter and the Democratic Party are saying about race as completely 100% accurate? Why is it important? Well, keep in mind that throughout my lifetime, essentially, and certainly throughout my time in the FBI, it went without saying. It was we knew it because we worked Russian intelligence, Soviet intelligence for so long. This is the core theme of the Soviet intelligence services and now the Russian intelligence services in trying to recruit people and turn Americans against each other and penetrate the inside of our government. They have forever been saying, look, you are a racist society. You are systemically racist. Your history is racist. You stole the country. You want to talk about disinformation and misinformation? That is the message that the Soviets and now the Russians and the Chinese have been putting out for decades. It comes straight from their intelligence services. It comes straight from their manuals and doctrine and everything else. And it has been used to try and convince people that you should quietly work for us, right? Well, now it has become the mainstream Democratic Party argument. It has gone from Soviet and Chinese intelligence, Cuban intelligence, right into the Democratic Party. And the bridge that they've gone over to get there, there are just numerous examples. And that's why, to me, we shouldn't be worrying about systemic racism. We should really be worrying about the systemic insider threat today posed by the Democratic Party.
That was really well said. Okay, so what they do is they start with an issue that has some legitimacy. I mean, people are frustrated. There's so many, you could pick so many issues, right? Every group, everybody's targeted in some way. But there is a little bit of systemic racism in, not system, but cultural, I'll say. We do. We have some cultural, like my daughter says, it's worse to be a band kid than it is to be Black in her very diverse school, because everybody has something. But the point is that they pick things that have a legitimate core to it of some case, and then they really exaggerate it and turn it into more of a problem than it really is, instead of looking at a way to heal it and to move forward. And that's how they get, that's how, why it works.
That's exactly right. The way this actually works is that all of these words sound beautiful, and they on in and of themselves and on their face, they are the way we all should live. We all should believe in equality. We all should believe in everybody having an equal opportunity and being created equal. We should believe in things like diversity and equality and social justice, in the sense that we should be treating each other fairly and kindly, and we should all be humble, all of those things. But when the left and the radical revolutionaries of yesterday use the words diversity, equality, and social justice, they're using those words that, in their mind, will replace equal opportunity under the law. They will use equity and equality to punish one class and choose which class is going to be punished over another. And that is very, very dangerous. They will use social justice instead of criminal justice, for example, but then incorporate all of these terms together. By the time they've finished that, they have negated and completely gotten rid of the rule of law. The rule of law is really what holds America together and makes America different than any other country that's ever existed. We have always thought we were all equal under the law and that the law would view us all equally. Now, that doesn't mean that there are police officers that make mistakes. It doesn't mean there are people who do stupid things out on the street.
Or it doesn't mean that there aren't evil people out there and bad guys.
On both sides,
Yes.
you're exactly correct. But what it means is we try to evolve, and we have evolved. America's evolved for hundreds of years now and will continue to evolve. But when you introduce into the US government and you tell every institution, you are now going to live by the words of equality, diversity, and social justice, you sound good and all of that sounds great and noble. But before we know it, these institutions will be literally taking all the baggage that goes with those words. What is that baggage? You have to understand before you can get to diversity, equality, and social justice, you have to condemn American history. You have to look at all of the people we used to regard as at least, if not heroes, people who were standing up for a principle at one time or the other, while may have proven to be wrong and not the direction we chose to go. We should be looking at those in a positive light as people advancing forward, like no other country has ever done. And yet now we're being told, no, those negatives in your history are all so bad that you have to get rid of them entirely. You have to get rid of every vestige of symbolism and any kind of indicator that those ever existed. Well, that's going to not only destroy history, when you destroy history, you take away your ability to learn from history, to deal with problems of the present and all the challenges we're going to face in the future. That is an ideology which is poison and toxic because it covers up what is really meant by the direction these people want to go. What they really want, because the only way, if people would stop and think about it, the only way to absolutely guarantee the kind of equality and equity that they're talking about is for the government to order that it be done. That's not the way we do things in America. We bring people along maybe a little bit slower, but we don't let the government get bigger, more powerful, and more tyrannical by then ordering, this is what you're going to do, this is what you're going to think, this is how you're going to feel. And in order to get there, you have to do these things and not these others. This gives the government the ability to just essentially tell everyone how they're going to feel and how they're going to live. And that isn't going to work because it starts to eventually get directly into conflict with things like freedom of religion or freedom of speech or the freedom to just say what you please without causing problems, of course, for other people. But we can see today what's happening. We're getting told, for example, about a real issue. Let's take the big issue that's out there a lot now, climate change. For 30 years. I mean, we can go all the way back to global warming. That didn't work out well, so they took a break and then came back with ferociously with climate change, okay? The Democratic Party and the radicals who want essentially to worship climate change in place of God or anything else, they want you to believe this, but they've never been able to convince the population that certain steps are necessary. They've never won that debate. So where are we today? Today they've just decided to say, since they've now taken over every branch of government, look, you're gonna go with these steps regardless. And we don't really care what you think anymore. We're going to order that it be done.
Well, they
We're
shut
going to
down the debates. They sh
They've shut
they claim they are right when it comes to science, and they won't have the scientific debates. And so now, if we have inferior scientific minds in positions of power, we're hosed. You know what I'm saying? Because my and I'll tell you, since back in the early 80s, I don't know when this whole climate crap started. My dad was the head of the Army Corps of Engineers for the Midwest. He ended up being a full colonel by whatever civilian side, and he was just adamant this was all BS. So I started hearing about it back in the early 90s. My whole life, I mean, almost 80s. I don't know, and so he would talk about it all the time, and not all the time, but it would irritate him. And they haven't convinced anybody of scientific who has he has two master's degree in this area. And and so that's what I grew up with. And then I started doing research and I realized that the people with behind the Great Reset, which I want to tie this into, are saying it doesn't even matter if the climate science is accurate or not. We need people to believe it is so that we can implement the changes that we want.
That's right. And it really comes down to this. It's not about the fact that we can make our air better and our water better. We've made great progress there, in fact, probably the most in the entire world. But it's about this. It's about other people getting access to all that money that they all think America has and redistributing it. And who has to be in the middle? When you design climate change, for example, and say, look, we're going to pay the countries of the African subcontinent to not go in the direction of fossil fuels. Well, then you put it together an entire political pipeline, whether people are in government or out, who are going to benefit just greatly from that kind of logic. And these people that are really pushing this, it's about money. It's about getting America's government money and saying you're going to do all these great things with it. All you're doing is creating billion-dollar jobs for politicians. That's what this is really about. It's about money. They have never been able to prove or show in a debate that the steps they want to take are either necessary or are even going to do anything about the climate. I mean, if people would stop and think, those 535 people on Capitol Hill, they can't even agree with each other about where to go to lunch or how to balance a budget. So they're going to now fix the earth?
What?
That is preposterous. Well,
but I have the bigger problem with, and I'm going to say this again, inferior scientific minds telling all the rest of us how to do anything. And I don't, you know, it's happened all throughout history that somebody came up with a superior scientific idea and the people of the day would not accept it. And so when I say inferior scientific minds, it is always in flux who has the inferior mind at that point or inferior idea. Even making sure that you have a sterile environment for having babies, that was rejected. And once they realized that, no, you got to sterilize things because it was killing mothers having babies, they threw the guy, I can't remember his name, it should be on top of my head, they threw him in a mental asylum and he ended up dying. The guy, poor guy, he was having babies and the women who were, he's delivering babies, they were surviving. And the other doctors had 30% death rate. And instead of learning from him, they decided to put him in a mental institution. He ended up being right. This is the point of forcing science on others, is that you have an inferior, you're instituting inferior scientific ideas because you're not letting the debate go on, and you're severely retarding the humanity's development and evolution to solving bigger problems. And you're forcing us to stay in a, that's why the Soviet Union was so far behind. That's why East Germany, I went through East Germany Checkpoint Charlie, and we walked through it when I was in high school. And I felt like I was walking into a time warp. Everything was literally decades behind where we were in our country because they retard the development of society because they force their scientific ideas on everybody else. And that's what we're dealing with science right now, I think, in the medical establishment. Well, but that's what they're doing with COVID. That's what they're doing with climate change. They're doing it in so many different areas. Anyways, keep going. I had to say that point because it just drives me nuts.
Your point is absolutely right and well taken, Sarah. And they evoke science to give themselves credibility because it's, again, it goes back to what we started discussing earlier. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Science says, but let's not forget, science is all about theory, and it's about proving or disproving a theory. Science never stops in one place for long. It just continues to develop. What they're essentially saying is, no, science right now is saying this, and this is it. This is the message, and we're sure of it. And here's the
science is settled.
The science is settled. The science, there you go. The science is settled because the government has decreed it. And that is where the problem comes. And here is also where the problem comes in. What are they now going to do? Well, the other day, Biden issued the order saying, look, by a certain date, the entire government is going to go to electric powered vehicles. Pretty soon, this is going to seep into the Department of Defense. Now, I'm sure the Chinese over there in Shanghai, where the Chinese Intelligence Bureau sits, I'm sure they just can't even believe their good fortune. It would cause them or create for them just years and years of work to create a kind of quote climate where America would literally destroy its own armed forces. What are these people going to eventually decree? Are they going to say, look, all ships are going to run on electric force fields or something? And while we're talking about that, you probably heard the term electromagnetic pulse technology. Mm-hmm. When I worked at the lab, after I left the FBI, I went to Lawrence Livermore National Weapons Lab and was there for 7 years in, again, in counterintelligence, counterterrorism. And the Chinese, this was back in the period of time from 2001 to about 2008. So you can imagine how far they've advanced now. But the Chinese were all over electromagnetic pulse technology because they realized that if they can finesse it and develop it enough, because our armed forces depend upon so much in the way of electricity and computers and technology, that they literally can disrupt communications and do all kinds of things to ships at sea if they can perfect this electromagnetic pulse technology type of counterwork that they're doing. So the Chinese are all ready to go after us and literally shut down power grids, shut down the way ships at sea communicate with satellites. They're way advanced in this. And if a person were to put in, do a Google search, for example, on EMP technology dash China, not too long ago, the Department of Defense wrote a pretty big report on this and the threat posed by the Chinese in this area.
Yeah. And I remember this because this was like four or five years ago when I first started, and I used to write a lot more instead of doing videos. And I took that report and did a big thing on it.
Okay.
And so I remember that. Go ahead.
Well, that's great. So you're kind of way ahead of this, but this is what is now going to be affected as we move down this list of the priorities of this administration and of the new Democratic Party, which, by the way, is not the Democratic Party of John F. Kennedy. This is an entirely different crowd of people.
John F. Kennedy might have been to the right of where the average Republican is now. I mean, honestly, we have gone off the cliff on the left, but go ahead.
Again, I couldn't agree with you more. And he understood. He'd been in a war. He'd had his boat shot out from under him. He understood the enemies. These people today look at you and I as the enemy. They look at anybody who doesn't agree with them and doesn't agree with their science as the enemy. And again, that's an important point because it's not just their mindset. This is what's going to happen. We can predict that things like YouTube and Google and Facebook, we can predict more repressive things from technology companies because we can predict more of these rules coming out of the government because they're going to get more and more confident as they go from one area to the other, and people just do what they say. Hey, you got to wear a mask. Okay, we have on a mask.
Exactly.
You got to stay indoors. Okay, we'll stay indoors. And as they get more and more confident, they're going to become more and more harsh and dictatorial. And at some point, it'll be like the Weather Underground even predicted in Prairie Fire. They said, as we go from the current system and we undermine and then destroy capitalism, we're going to float into this area of kind of socialism, but we call it that. But really, the whole purpose of this is to end up in the communist utopia. And in the middle there, on the way from one to the other, it's going to get pretty bad. It's going to be pretty unstable. And that's exactly what's going to be the consequence of these ideas and these policies as they now start to implement their ideas. They've never had this opportunity. And it's not because Americans decided we prefer, quote, socialism over capitalism or the Constitutional Republic. It's because Americans that voted for these people have no idea, for the most part, what they're really up to because they're so good at disguising it.
Well, they stole the election, and I know for a fact. That's my bad. I'm a computer scientist, data scientist. I looked at the actual facts and data myself. I know that election was stolen. So now you have tyrants in there who stole the election and now are dictating to us all these things. So to me, it's very hard to watch this. And I can say that I know without a fact because I looked at that original data and that's my background. And I was pretty darn good at it. But my point is that the people, the majority of the people don't want this and they're forcing out it on us. And the other group of people are useful idiots and they will wake up and realize that this isn't what they voted for. But I want to ask you, how serious are they about the agenda of getting rid of people like me and you who don't support their ideas? Because that's part of how they make this work.
Well, in many ways, Sarah, they've already minimized people like you and I. They've had a lot of success in essentially colluding. We'll use their word, okay? Colluding, conspiring is a better one, with the mainstream news media to simply now stop reporting information and stories. Remember when we were having the 2016 election? We were talking about things that at least you would see on every network. You would see on Fox, you would see on CNN. They may not have reported it the same, but at least you might see mention of the story. Fast forward to now, the mainstream media has decided we don't even need to report a lot of this information at all, and we won't. And that is what is a crying shame, because so many people get their thoughts and their thought process and their information from 15 minutes of the nightly news somewhere or in the airport lounge waiting for the airplanes. And that is another way to essentially suppress opinion and suppress the truth.
It's become obvious right now. But do you think more people are waking up because it's so obvious? I mean, it's become so extremely obvious. Or is it only obvious to us and people who are kind of were questioning things already?
Each day I wake up, I have kind of a different feeling about that. Sometimes I'm much more optimistic that people are waking up. But then I get several hours into the day and realize, no, they're not. I think you and I feel differently. And I think we have to admit there's probably close to 80 million people who feel like we do. There's a huge split in the country.
Yes.
But there's many people that just are not understanding. And I think for the most part, most of these people who are quote voters are all good people. I mean, they just have a different idea of things. But if they understood what is really going on and what the Democratic Party really stands for today, and if they understood the history, and Americans are very, very weak on history and getting weaker, then they would have a context with which to understand this. But right now, they simply do not understand, the people that put all of these characters into office, that the Democratic Party is today both traitorous, treasonous,
yep,
as well as corrupt.
Yep.
And you have to be that way. You have to have those qualities. The President of the United States, the man sitting in the White House now, should not be there if for any other reason the relationship of his son with China and the fact that we have open-ended questions about his relationship with China and where the money went that Hunter Biden supposedly, according to a very credible witness, had for Joe Biden.
And the media buried the story.
They buried the story. They completely buried the story.
They talked for years about how there was Russian collusion because they messed with the social media networks and convinced people of different things. Now they did this blatant, you know, the tech industry did this blatant manipulation of the media. And that's not a problem. I mean, the hypocrisy is so extreme that it's incredible. Okay, but I want to get back to this depopulation issue of, it's not, I think it's depopulation from a different group of people using these communists as useful idiots too. But I want to get to that later. But this whole communist agenda, I went to China back with this group that went to the Silk Road tour. Actually, it was great. My whole family went. My daughter's learning Chinese, and it was really a great experience for us. But half the people there were communists, and I didn't know that who were in this group. And the other half were more like me, and it was a really clear split, you know. And I actually tried to reach across the aisle, if you will. And some of the people who were like that were just so nice. And the other people, there was like a split group in there, people who are genuine and really nice, which is what we probably are talking about, the people who don't realize what they're really about. And then this other group who were completely arrogant, selfish, nasty individuals. And when we had these, like, it was called chat and chai or something. We, every night we'd talk about different issues. And one of the nights one of the communists spoke, and I asked them, what are you going to do with the people that don't agree with your views? Right. And because part of the whole communist thing is that you have to do something with the people who don't re-educate them or what. And he goes, well, we have to do something about those people. And I'm like, well, re-education or just get rid of them? Well, we have to. And he essentially said we have to get rid of them in front of the whole group. And my son just jaw dropped. You know, it ended up being a very good conversation for my kids and our family. But it was very traumatic to hear some people in live in person. And these are journalists who are pretty well known in that area, you know, on that side of the aisle, if you will. And they openly said that these people need to be taken out. It was hard for me to, you know, it was one of those things that really bothered me a lot. And they had this hashtag for the Chinese president, hashtag my president, because they didn't like Trump. I mean, they were very extreme. So I have to ask you, how serious? I mean, are they the more extreme part of the party, or is that really what we're seeing going on, that they really have this plan for us?